The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition, October 10th, 2018, coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice for local talk. Of course, we've got our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We're going to talk about, in the first segment today, the award-winning Pima County Public Library. Libraries nationwide vie annually to be named a top innovator by the Urban Libraries Council. This year, Pima County Public Library is one of the winners in the race and social equity category. PCPL joins a very impressive group of libraries across the country, from D.C. Public Library to Los Angeles Public Library. The library won for its library restoration practices for youth program, which was launched as a pilot program in 2017 at the Ekstrom Columbus Library. And this is the second time the library has received the award. In 2013, it won the nationally recognized Library Health Nurse Program. So with us on the live line to talk more about this, Karen Prechtel-Altman, the Deputy Director of Public Services for the Pima County Public Library, and Mary Sanchez, manager of the award-winning Ekstrom Columbus Library. Ladies, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Mary, let's begin with you. You must be very proud of your library branch receiving this award.
I am. It's just a tremendous honor.
Tell us a little bit about this program. What is it all about?
Well, we started with some concerns we had. We were noticing that we were suspending a lot of youth at our library, and we formed a committee, and together we came up with some ideas about how we could, you know, reduce suspensions, have a better conversation with youth, engage them more, get to know them, and build some trust so that we wouldn't have these same issues happening, and we wouldn't have to suspend youth. Our library is located in a kind of lower income area. We have a lot of new immigrants and refugee families here as well. A lot of the youth that come to our library may not have other resources, and so this is a great place for them to be. And we didn't want to be the place that is having kids leave the library. We wanted them to stay in. So by learning more about restorative practices, we were able to form a board, a community board, and then as kids reacted or had behavior issues, we would start referring them to the board, and then they could go and talk, and we could figure out maybe some ideas for how they could improve their behavior. And it really started to work, and we were seeing so much improvement, a lot less. In 2017, 75% less suspensions of youth, and many youth that are now seeing us as trusted people in their lives that they'll come and talk to, and it's just been a wonderful change for us.
When you say restorative practices, it's kind of like getting the kids back on the right track, correct, Mary?
Yes, it is. In the past, if you looked at traditional methods, you know, it would be more of like a punishment, where a punitive action, where we're saying you did something wrong, and now you're going to pay for it, and you're out of the library. With the restorative approach, we're having a conversation with youth. We're asking them what's going on in their lives. Why do you think you did this? How do you think you could do better in the future? So we're kind of really engaging with them and having a conversation and having them think about their actions more and giving them some maybe some tips and skills that they can use so that they have better behavior in the future.
Let's bring in Karen Prechtel-Altman, Deputy Director of the Public Services for the Library. Karen, talk a little bit about the changing role of libraries in our society.
Oh, thank you. Libraries are not just the repository of books anymore. We are, in some ways, the center of some communities. We offer programs for all ages. We offer job help. Our library nurse program, for example, exercise programs, GED, English as a second language. We even have a career online high school program. All that being said, a lot of people just come to the library for a third place. They might not want to be at work or at home to study, but they might need that third place to be for some quiet contemplation or just to get some work done. So our role is really expanding.
It's almost like our libraries have become our town square. In the old days, people would kind of meet at a town square. They'd have interaction with other people, and many people who wind up at the library, probably it's a good opportunity just to be with some other people. Karen and Mary, you want to comment on that for me?
Well, absolutely. It's interesting, even people who are introverted and loners will come to the library just to be around other people. And we interact with people during the day who sometimes say that this is the only interaction they have with individuals is when they come to the library. So we really are a safe place for a lot of people. And we're a convening space as well. Almost all of our libraries have meeting rooms that are in use constantly because community groups and neighborhood associations come and use our rooms on a regular basis. So we're definitely a place where people come together.
And then when you look at youth, you know, we here at our Ekstrom Columbus Library, we're surrounded by several schools that within walking distance. So for them, once they get out of school, it's a good place to come. Many of the youth in our neighborhoods may not have computers or internet access at home, so that is a favorite activity to come and use our computers. And then they meet up with each other. They're able to come to programs. We have things like Homework Help and our ReStrong program, and there are many kids that need those services and need the extra help. We have a lot of second English speakers. You know, they are second language English speakers. So to have someone here in the library that can help them with either reading or their homework is really beneficial and helps out their parents. So we see that we really are a community resource that is really helping our neighborhood.
Karen, how does someone get involved with the library? Is everyone welcome, or how does that work? Perhaps some of our listeners are not familiar with the programs.
Oh, thank you for asking that. The library is free and available to absolutely everybody. You do not have to pay to belong to the library. Just come in and we'll hook you up with our resources, whether that be books and magazines or internet access, which, let's face it, a lot of our community still does not have the internet access that they need in this day and age to basically survive. And so we're it for a lot of people. It's an exciting place to be.
Could you give us kind of what is your footprint? How many libraries do you have available in Pima County?
We have 26 locations, and we have a robust bookmobile service as well into rural communities. Our reach is all the way from the east side of town to Ajo, Arizona. We have a library in Aravaca, Green Valley, Marana, Oral Valley, and we're building a new library soon in the Vail community.
Well, I think that's great, and we're very lucky to have such a wonderful library system. And I do want to touch briefly, I remember we did something here on the radio back in 2013 when the library was recognized for the Library Health Nurse Program. This is a really innovative program, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't see any kind of a health practitioner. This gives them a chance to see someone. Is that a rotating basis, Karen and Mary? Could you fill our listeners in briefly?
Absolutely. This is Karen. We have a regular nurse at the downtown library where there's greatest need, and then at our many of our other locations, we have nurses that come in on a monthly or bi-monthly basis, and they will often advertise that they'll be there. So the nurses are a wonderful resource for community members who don't have easy access to health care, but they also help us manage behavioral health issues in the library and can de-escalate situations with individuals, and that's been incredibly helpful for us.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up, but for more information, could you give us the library's main website?
Absolutely. It's www.library.pima.gov.
Mary, thank you very much. Karen, thank you very much, and congratulations on the work being done at the Pima County Public Library. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, ladies. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by my favorite bakery in town, and Mona's is winning all sorts of new friends. From our telling folks about Mona's, I have a lot of people say, I got to get up there. And when they do get up there to the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, they really enjoy what they find. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. Ask about the Danish Kringle. Not only ask about it, when you see the Danish Kringle, you're going to want one. You're also going to want to stop by for lunch here during the noon hour. Have a sandwich. The bread is so fantastic. Steve and his team of bakers do such a great job. A wide variety of breads will have your sandwich very nice. You can have, like I did Sunday, had that hot turkey sandwich. Oh, that was good. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great partners that make our program possible. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday during the noon hour. Our guests include Republican congressional hopeful in CD2, Leah Marquez Peterson. Also, Republican Wendy Rogers, candidate for Congress in CD1. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over this very, very pretty area of the Southwest United States. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson, a great place to just kind of kick back, get away, maybe visit the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, or just hang out and enjoy historic downtown Silver City, a great starting place, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you'll find a complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation ideas in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue with our political interviews that we're doing in the run-up to the general election. And my goodness, the early ballots will be going out here in a matter of hours, actually, very, very shortly. Dr. Randy Fries joining us in studio. Dr. Fries, one of two Democrat incumbents in District 9, he and his seatmate, Pamela Powers Handley, are standing for re-election. They are being challenged by Republican Anna Henderson. Dr. Fries, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
How is the campaign going? What seems to be, what's on folks' mind? You're out there talking to a lot of people. I'm curious, I'm sure our listeners are too, what seems to be the big issue in District 9?
You know, I don't think it's any surprise, but education funding for our K-12 schools. You know, I thought it was a big issue when I first ran in 2014, and then again in 2016, right after Proposition 123 barely passed, as trying to solve our school funding problems. Again, it's even bigger this year with Red for Ed and the teacher walkouts. And I tell people when they ask me about it, I tell people it's bigger every year because we're not addressing this problem. We're not addressing this problem with sustainable solutions from Phoenix, from the state government, with sustainable solutions directed at making sure the funds get to our classrooms, get to our teachers, get to our students to meet their needs.
Well, I'm going to be very curious to see how this all plays out as the new session gets underway, usually with the state of the always with the State of the State address. That'll be coming up right after the new year. I'm very curious, Dr. Fries, how it's all going to work out, the Red for Ed money. I'm sure you're curious, too.
We have some ideas. Our caucus proposed our budget ideas on the budget as the budget was passing at the end of the last session. One of the things I'd really like to see is a dedicated, protected funding stream for at least for district additional assistance. And district additional assistance is the money that we had cut since 2016. The governor came to office. One of his first things was he cut about $100 million from that. We did restore some of that funding the last session, but it is nowhere near where it had been prior to the recession cuts. And I would like to see, instead of that money coming from the general fund, which is, you know, the size of the general fund is dependent upon the economy and things like that, I would like to create a protected funding stream so the DAA won't be up for cuts every time the budget is reconsidered. And one of the things that Invest in Ed proposal did was try to do just that for teacher salaries, create a protected funding stream so that we can get our teacher salaries to where they need to be to keep teachers, to attract teachers to Arizona and retain teachers in Arizona.
And that didn't make the ballot, so now...
Well, actually, Bill, it made the ballot, but then the Supreme Court removed it.
That's true. It did. Technically, it made the ballot, but then there was an issue with the language, I believe.
I think the Supreme Court's concern was that the language, I think the wording that I read was could be confusing, the language that was on the petition that people were signing. There are some disagreements about that, the terminology that was used, the Supreme Court felt wasn't precise enough, unfortunately.
For our listeners who do not know who Dr. Randy Fries is, you are a veteran, a doctor, you're the assistant minority leader. A little bit about your background briefly, please.
Certainly, Bill. I moved here in 2008 with my wife from Texas. I moved here for a job at the University of Arizona. I became the associate trauma medical director. Had no real indication that I would have political aspirations or office-holding aspirations. And then the shooting happened in January 2011. I took care of those victims, including Congresswoman Giffords. And that sort of opened a window, cracked a door, if you will, in my mind about I've always felt being a trauma surgeon was public service, about expanding my public service to the community by serving in public office. So about 3 years later, then I decided to run for public office and now have served since.
You were working very hard on that opioid crisis legislation. How did that all work out?
You know, that I hold up as a shining example of how we should be doing, how we should be governing in Arizona. That happened at the beginning of last session. The governor came to both caucuses and said, this is my proposal for addressing the opioid crisis in Arizona. A crisis, of course, is nationwide. And he asked for input from both the caucuses, and we gave the governor and his staff some input on what we would like to see as Democrats. His staff actually listened. They put into the proposal the two things that were important to us. Well, many things were important to us, but the two major things that were important to us were a good Samaritan sort of clause that allowed someone to call for help when someone is having a overdose problem and not have and have some mitigating factors and have it not be so strongly held against them if they have paraphernalia or drugs present while they're calling for help while someone else is overdosing or maybe themselves are overdosing. That ended up in there. It has some limitations on it, but that we needed to compromise and for the negotiation. So there it does sunset in 5 years, but we're hopeful that that provision will save lives and save money and we'll be able to renew it. And the second thing that our caucus asked for was we noticed that there wasn't a lot of financial support in his package, and we said we're concerned. The package he presented us addressed a lot naive people getting exposed to opioids and then becoming addicted. Well, we wanted some help for those people that are presently addicted and have no insurance or are underinsured. So the governor created a pot of funds available to help those that are underinsured or didn't have insurance to access medical assistance treatment for their addiction. And that was $10 million for the state. And we were very pleased with those negotiations. And my entire caucus then joined in with the governor, said, yes, we will support this.
Kind of nice to have something bipartisan up in Phoenix.
It was really a shining example of what we should be doing, what we could be doing, if the executive is willing to accept a budget that requires Democrat votes to pass. And that is something that has not happened in quite some time.
Let's see if we can get a quick call in here. Jeff would like to speak with Dr. Randy Fries. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, hello, Dr. Fries. I have a general question, and this applies to your statement earlier that you would like to create a funding source for teachers for schools, however that may be distributed. My question applies to the state land trust, which seems like forever we've taken to be the funding, the source of funds for the school system in Arizona. And it was always it was referred to as a state land trust and, no further explanation. So I don't know how big that is. What is that, some monolithic thing? But my question is, what's happened to it? Does it not supply enough money? Is it there at all? Is it broken? And I would just like a sort of a general explanation that makes sense if I could get one. And I'll just hang up and listen to the conversation. Thank you very much.
Good question. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Jeff. Yes, great question. This state land trust was created when Arizona became a state in 1912, and it still exists, and it is growing, and it is the principal must be protected. So the interest is used every year and dispersed to not only our public schools, but our public universities and a couple other things, the School for the Deaf and Blind and actually some of the state hospital and other things. But the majority, the lion's share of the money goes to our public schools, but it's dispersed every year at a rate of, I believe, because of Proposition 123 is a set rate of 6.9%. And, you know, I think we need to be more creative. And that happens for the next 10 years. And I think after that, it goes back to a variable rate. But I think we need to be more creative with our state land trust. And what I mean by that is invest wisely. And in the years when the general fund is shrinking because of an economic downturn, we spend more. We allow the state land trust to disperse more to our schools to meet that piece that the general fund is now lacking. And then in years where the general fund is robust, we have a good economy, we reinvest more in the land trust so we'll have years where we spend more and then years where we invest more, and over time that should smooth out. I actually had discussions with Treasurer DeWitt when he was still here about some idea like that and working with the Treasurer's Department to move forward with how that would look. Of course, it would take us probably a couple of years to smooth that out, and it would require a constitutional amendment for the voters to weigh in on. But I'm going to reach out to the new Treasurer if I get reelected and whoever the new Treasurer may be and talk to them about this idea and see if I can't get some help or get their support for something like this.
All right, Dr. Randy Freese, what about your website?
My website is drfreesforhouse.com. That's drfreeseforhouse.com. You can read more about my positions there and more about my background and what I've done in the legislature.
Dr. Randy Freese, appreciate it very much, running in District 9.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir. This portion of the program presented by our friends over at Green Things. On their 13-acre site, it's not only about plants and beautiful green things. It's now about, in addition, they have Zocalo Village. Tour the five shops at the newly created Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, Europe. It's a destination in itself at 3384 East River Road. Tour the five shops, finish your visit in the gallery, and stay for the complimentary wine bar at Green Things. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for one of my favorite segments, Insider Travel Talk, on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is CEO of Bon Voyage Travel, serving travelers for more than 40 years, 75 Bon Voyage travel experts and consultants. They're standing by right now, and they will, believe me, they'll create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices: River and Campbell, the Green Valley office, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com, usually the first step in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm great. It's beautiful weather outside.
Oof, we're having a great October.
Can't miss this week at all in Tucson.
Terrific. October is Plan a Cruise Month.
And it sure is.
Travelers are always dreaming of trips, and we've talked about this before, and folks thinking, well, I'd like to do a cruise next year. Now is the time to start thinking about it and maybe putting those plans into action.
Yeah, thank you for leading us into that. And the trade association with the cruise industry has labeled October as Plan a Cruise Month. So it's really just an industry focus on planning. And you hit it exactly. Planning ahead is one of the tips that I have kind of brought and summarized a little bit. And I thought we could kind of walk through, if you've never been on a cruise or you're always looking for a little bit more expertise, what types of things should you know as you are planning that cruise? And we'll start with planning ahead. If you can imagine, there are cruise lines that literally today launched their itineraries for 2021.
Oh my
sailings.
Goodness. I thought you were going to say 2020, and then I was going to say, oh, that's a long way, but 2021?
That's right. The industry is booming. People are traveling, and what that means is they're planning further and further ahead of time. We talk about this all the time. To get what you want at the price that you're looking for, the experience that you are dreaming of, you got to plan ahead. Don't compromise and plan close in and miss out on the right cruise line, the right destination, or the right cabin category. And those are some of the things we can talk about. But when you come to Bon Voyage, and I love how you frame that, Bill, is it's about your dream vacation. It's an investment. And we always start with the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to go on a vacation? In this particular case, a cruise. Mm-hmm. Do you want to disconnect? Do you want to celebrate? Do you want to enjoy great food and wine? Is it about the history of the destination? Is it the destination itself, or a number of other personal reasons? We love to connect you with the right experience. And that's one of the biggest points, is that there are experiences across the globe that, if you want to disconnect, please don't go to the Mediterranean in August. You're not going to disconnect.
No.
You are going to be with the hordes of people that are European nationals that are taking their holiday that time. So don't go there to disconnect.
I don't know what the percentage is, but it seems like half of Europe at least is somewhere on vacation in the month of August. Because, first of all, they have a very liberal vacation policy anyway, which is great. But they like to take off. And so August is not the best time probably for Americans to be over in Europe.
That's right, which leads us to kind of the next thought process as you're planning a cruise. And that's understanding the differences, Bill. As you start to think through the different cruise lines, you got different size ships. You have different onboard life. You have expedition. And we've talked about that before. You have a Royal Caribbean ship with 6,000 passengers that has water slides that are 10 stories tall, and you have river cruise lines that have a little over 100 people on board, and there's no onboard entertainment because they're taking you to the ports of call that are in the middle of Germany, and they want you off the ship. They want you going to the castles and going to the wineries, not sitting on their ships. You got to understand what those differences are, and in some cases, you may pay your cruise fare, and guess what? You get free alcoholic beverages. You get free included shore excursions. other cruise lines, guess what? There's only one complimentary restaurant, and the other 20 that they tell you all about,
right,
you have to pay when right. you're on ship. So there's a lot of differences when you're talking about the cruise experience, and that's where the expertise comes in hand. And of course, I have to wrap it up with Book With Us, because of all these nuances, all these complications, you want to get it right. And that's why you come to an expert.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of these nuances that can happen. Perhaps you've got a couple. The husband doesn't really wants to do some kind of a cruise, but doesn't like perhaps ocean cruising and worrying about rough seas. That might be an opportunity to talk about river cruising.
No doubt. And there is a cruise for everyone, and that is one of the things that we love about the river cruise experience. You don't have the seasickness issues. You will always see land. And a joke in the industry is when you go through the muster drill on some of these river cruise lines, the safety precaution is get out and walk to shore, because sometimes levels are that low.
Yeah, it's up to your ankles or something. So, you know, so there's all these, as I say, the nuances of this. Sit down. If you're a couple, if you're a single person, if you're a millennial, go and talk to a travel advisor at Bon Voyage, because chances are they know, or if they don't know specifically a particular cruise, there's someone in the office that does.
That's exactly right. And some of those nuances, don't be thinking of the midnight buffet and the mega ship. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I see on television. Mm-hmm. We can put you on a 32-passenger yacht in the Caribbean and talk
Whoa.
About the different ports that you're going to enter into, and the onboard experience of that vessel, much different than the mega ships.
And, of course, there's the cruise where you can really go back in time. It's kind of like a step back in time. It's the Windjammer cruise. With that session at your annual travel show, which will be coming up in February,
That's right.
is one of your most popular. People, there's a segment of the market that loves that Windjammer.
And they do, because it really is sailing. You know, you are not just on the waters powered by the jets underneath. You really experience what the sailors experienced mm-hmm. back in the 16th, 17th century of crossing the Atlantic. And it can be a little rough, so
yeah.
you have to understand what you're getting into. So if that is a concern for you, we would not recommend it. But there are a lot of people that love the quote-unquote rock and roll of that Windjammer vessel.
How about those worried about the whole thing about how do you get to the cruise, the air transportation?
Well, there are close to home ports that we would definitely recommend. There are Pacific Coastal cruises. You could drive to San Diego or Los Angeles if that's
yeah.
a concern of yours. You could also sail the Mississippi River if you say, well, I can take a couple hour flight, but I don't want to go overseas to do that. And you can't go wrong with an Alaskan cruise.
You can do the Columbia River Gorge.
That's
you were
right.
saying the Alaska or the Mississippi. Then, of course, you mentioned Alaska, and I was up there at the end of August, the second time I've been up there, but I didn't realize how much I had missed it. It'd been a few years. It's a great destination.
And it's a repeat destination. A
it
lot
is.
Of people
it
think
is.
That might be a bucket list
no,
one-timer.
No.
Not at all, because you can see it so many different
state.
Ways.
Yeah, you can see it in so many ways. Speaking of airlines, the baggage mm-hmm. fees continue to go up. What is a strategy to kind of beat the baggage fees, other than perhaps the obvious, if you're going business class, you're not going to have to worry about that. But if you're going in the economy class, how do you beat that?
A couple different things. Obviously, you need to know your airline, know what you get. So obviously, Southwest, hey, no worries, no
right.
bag fees. Be careful when you are traveling international. This would be something to think about. If you're traveling international and you think, oh, I've got this first bag free, when you start traveling in the regional airlines, you may have different weight limitations and size limitations and be stuck at that airport flying from Barcelona to Madrid, mm-hmm. not realizing there's going to be a baggage fee because, well, I didn't pay one flying to Barcelona from Tucson. Well, you might have one there. So know before you go what's ahead of you. Some of the little tips and tricks, clearly carry on could be one way.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on to gate check. So if you don't want to have to be messing around with your bag if you have a couple of connections,
right.
plan to gate check it.
Mm-hmm.
And the airlines love you for that. In
mm-hmm.
fact, some things they're doing now is forcing gate checks
mm-hmm.
for some of the boarding people. Pack smart, roll coordinate your clothing. The two of my favorite ones are try to join a loyalty program. Fly an airline more often so that you can move up in your status. And one of the benefits and perks of becoming, let's say, a gold member with United would be a complimentary bag. And look into credit cards with the airlines. If you don't have a preference with a credit card company and you want to look at consolidating your flights on American, you can get a card that is supported by American Airlines and you can get free bags from a check-in standpoint, because you're using a credit card anyways, and you get the points that turn into miles and potential free flights.
Another tip, make sure if you can to plan ahead and go ahead and get the clearance through the with the card that lets you avoid the long lines.
You bet. Global entry. Global entry. What you
Thank
abs-
you. That's
it
what
is,
I'm talking
it's
about.
It's life-changing.
It is. It really is. And a little tip that, that we learned when we were up in Vancouver in August, we did not bring with us the little card that we have. We are in the system, but bring the little card with you because the Canadian system is different.
That's right.
They'll honor the American system, but you have to have the little card
with us. You
have
to have the card.
So we had to stand in line and wait about an hour and that, but little tip there for you.
And make sure, one last thing, when you are carrying on, make sure to plan with TSA in mind because you do have some issues and regulations there. You don't want to get caught trying to figure out, should I throw this away, mail it back, give it to the TSA agent, because they are strict, as they should be for our safety.
All right, Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Make that first stop at bvtravel.com. The second stop, one of the three great offices of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, always a pleasure.
My friend, it's good to see you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality, for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time to start thinking about Thanksgiving dinner already. It's going to be coming up before you know it. Why not stop by my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and get your order in now for all of the great dinner rolls and the pies that Steve and the team do at Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They do such a great job with all the breads, so you can imagine we've had those dinner rolls on our Thanksgiving table and their pies. And they're all, I would give on a 1 to 10 scale, a 10. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of the great sponsors that make this show possible. All right, our political focus now. This segment turns to the Arizona Corporation Commission. There are four contenders, two Democrats, two Republicans, for the two seats that are up for grabs. One of the two Republicans is on the live line right now. He is Rodney Glassman, former Tucson City Councilman, former U.S. Senate candidate. Mr. Glassman, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Tell me about how the campaign is shaping up at this point.
Well, we're getting our message out about restoring integrity at the Arizona Corporation Commission by passing the Arizona Code of Judicial Conduct and getting this commission to start acting like judges, which is what they are. So the message about protecting ratepayers is resonating, as well as my background in water and water conservation, which I started at the Tucson City Council, so doing well, and actually excited to be coming down to Southern Arizona tomorrow. Our friends George and Margaret Larson from Larson Baker and other business community friends are hosting an event.
For folks who have not kept up with Rodney Glassman since you left the council and then ran for U.S. Senate, what have you been doing?
9 years of Air Force duty as a reservist, a JAG reservist. Formerly at Davis-Monthan and then Luke Air Force Base and now assigned at Eielson Air Force Base up outside of Fairbanks. 8 years of happy marriage to my wonderful wife, Sasha, who I met in law school at the University of Arizona, and 7 years of being a dad. We now have two daughters, actually, who are turning 8 and 6 this month and next. And then professionally, I'm now at a wonderful law firm called Buse Gilbert. We practice high-stakes litigation and land use in the Valley and across the state, and I work for companies like U-Haul and Mobile Mini and other major organizations, helping them with their strategy.
There is so much focus, Rodney, on Proposition 127. That is the measure that would require utilities regulated by the Corporation Commission to generate 50% of their electricity from renewable sources by 2030. Why are you opposed to this?
Well, this is a dangerous initiative for a couple reasons. And Bill, it's nice to be on your show where I have a track record of working on issues like water conservation and solar power water heating, because as you know, I've always been a champion of clean energy and water conservation. But for one person, a fellow named Tom Steyer from California, to completely draft his own initiative for Arizona, to completely fund himself an initiative and put it on our Arizona ballot, and to create an initiative that would literally change our Arizona Constitution is a bad way to set policy.
This gentleman, Mr. Steyer, what is his background?
He is a guy who I believe is in the solar business, actually, and is interested in pushing that agenda. And that's not to say that we shouldn't have more solar, more renewable in Arizona. The reality is we should. Bill, one of the things that isn't often talked about is the fact that Arizona actually ranks third in the country today when it comes to solar installations. And number one is California, which obviously is slightly larger. So we're doing really well, but we could be doing more. But the appropriate place to do it is to do it at the state legislature. If our business community wants or needs incentives, that would happen at the state legislature. It wouldn't happen from a citizens initiative that literally wasn't even written by Arizonans. There were no community meetings. All of the things that we did to successfully create our water ordinances in the city of Tucson have not been done by this fellow from California.
What about the health officials who are saying, this is a story today in our local paper in the Star, that Prop 127 makes sense from a public health perspective?
The reality is, and my focus is the policy perspective. If we would have been sitting, you and I, in Tucson 20 years ago at the grocery store, Bash's, and you would have said that every car in Arizona should have a phone attached to its dashboard. Mm. We may have thought that was a great idea, but imagine how scary that would have been if someone would have tried to put it in the Arizona Constitution as law, because now we reach into our pocket, and what do we pull out? A cell phone. So technology continues to change and continues to develop. And yesterday it was energy from natural gas. Today it's solar. Who knows what's going to come next? And that's why even if you look at the California legislature, Bill, the California legislature has transitioned from talking about simply renewable energy to that health issue and zero carbon. And that's another thing that's dangerous about this initiative from this California billionaire, is that it takes out and doesn't really focus on zero carbon. We know that one of the greatest producers of energy that's zero carbon and great is the nuclear plant, Palo Verde Nuclear Plant. It's the largest nuclear plant in the country. And this initiative that wasn't written by Arizonans, maybe that's why he missed it, but was written by the one fellow from California, excludes nuclear, which just doesn't make sense, because it's something that is clean, it's something that is here. And even in California, they've switched to this zero carbon, which makes a lot more sense from a policy perspective. And once again, binding all of these things into our Arizona Constitution isn't the right way to go about it.
We're speaking with Rodney Glassman, who is a Republican, one of the two Republicans seeking the two seats on the Arizona Corporation Commission. By the time folks get to the Arizona Corporation Commission, unless they've done the homework, they don't even know what the Arizona Corporation Commission is.
Well, in a nutshell, Bill, you know, it's interesting. It's our fourth branch of government. At the time of statehood, it was determined by our founders that there were certain public services, energy, water, telecom, pipelines, trains, that were so important that they should be regulated by elected officials. Because think about it, in the city of Tucson, if you're frustrated with the water company, you can vote out the mayor. Mm-hmm. But if you're frustrated with TEP, what are you supposed to do? They're a private company, and that's why the Corporation Commission was created. So it was created to protect ratepayers, to keep rates low, to have commissioners that could ask tough questions of the regulated utilities and protect the ratepayer. And that's why I'm so uniquely qualified for this office. 80% of the rate hearings, Bill, mm-hmm. are water companies. 80%. And I'm the only candidate running for the commission this cycle that has a background in water, working on the Tucson City Council as a rate setter, working as the acting town manager of Cave Creek, running a water company, and with that PhD from the University of Arizona, which I'm proud to talk about up here in the valley, in the Phoenix Valley. But I'm proud of my background, and I think that I will bring a great set of eyes and to be an advocate for the ratepayers, and that's why I'm hoping people will vote for Rodney Glassman this November.
What about this? Weren't you authoring some children's books?
Thank you for asking about that, Bill. As you know, Tucson is the home of one of the largest book festivals in the country, the Tucson Festival of Books. And back when Paul Lindsay and some of our other friends co-founded that project, my wife, Sasha, who at the time was my girlfriend, was involved in a program called Lawyers for Literacy. And I was on the council, and we decided to write that first book, Jeremy Jackrabbit, Harvest the Rain, to pick on my little brother, and pass out 15,000 free books to kindergartners, one to every kindergartner in Pima County. Well, the book project continues to go on. We just released our sixth title with the help of generous businesses in Phoenix and the help of Caliber Group, our local Southern Arizona advertising agency who still puts the books together. They're illustrated by kids. I go out with Sasha. We raise $100,000 per book. And believe it or not, we're now printing 50,000 books per year that go to kindergartners across Maricopa County. And I was just texting with my friend Adelita Grijalva from the TUSD Governing Board the other day. And why was I texting her? So she could confirm that they had, I think it was 3,200 kindergartners in Tucson Unified School District. So true to my Southern Arizona roots, Bill, we're still sending free children's books down for all the kindergartners in TUSD. And that's another great aspect of my campaign, Bill, is that I'm the only candidate running for statewide office this cycle to serve in Phoenix who has spent the majority of my adult life living in Tucson. And I think that's important, and that's the reason why friends like, you know, Brent and Phyllis Kite from Pizza Hut and George and Margaret Larson and Paul and Betty Whiteman from Oil Automotive and others are working hard to help me get elected to support our campaign, because not only am I the kid that grew up in Tucson and went to the U of A and worked in the business community and, you know, and did the children's books and the Boy Scouts and all that good stuff. But now I'm an adult and I live in Phoenix, and to have that strong connectivity for all of the residents in Southern Arizona when it comes to especially protecting ratepayers in our water, that's an additional value that I will bring to the table.
All right, Rodney Glassman, where can we find out more?
RodneyGlassman.com is our website, and I ask everyone to please vote Rodney Glassman. Ballots are in the mail, so do it early, do it often, and tell your friends. You've got a friend in Phoenix that grew up in Tucson.
Thank you, Rodney. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a ton, Bill.
Okay. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. I want to thank Ray Allen. Thanks, Ray. We had a lot of work today, but you did it, and we had a lot of content, and that's the bottom line. Everybody, have a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.